I'm Dev. I'm a grad student at Berkeley, and I'll be talking about warnings. This is joint work with Adrian Felt at Google, and I'm not employed by Google or Mozilla, so take what I say with a grain of salt. All right, so warnings have a very bad reputation amongst the security community and the general developer community. This is a quote from a 99 book, Users Will Pick Dancing Pigs Every Time. And that's not just 99. In 2010, Cormac Hurley had this beautiful paper in which he mentioned that, you know, growing body of studies are showing that users just ignore certificate warnings. In 2011, Bravo Lillo had a paper saying, most people don't read computer warnings, don't understand them, or simply don't heed them, even when the situation is clearly bad. Unfortunately, a lot of these quotes are based on studies done on old-style warnings. This is the IE6 SSL warning. And this is not the sort of warning that browsers use today. Modern browser warnings are full page. They require the user to really make a decision. This is the Chrome SSL warning. And you know, it's full page, it's blocking the user, and the user has to click on advanced and click continue. So they really require the user to make a decision. And that's not just Chrome malware warnings. This is the Firefox malware warning, kind of similar. The Chrome SSL warning is also kind of similar, full page. Firefox SSL again. I'm sure all of you have hit these warnings, so I'm not going to spend too much time on each type of warning. But things are changing. So today I'll talk about a large scale measurement we did to see how users respond to these modern warnings in situ and in their day to day environment. And so when I say measurement, what do we measure? Well, we measured click through rate. We decided to measure this metric. And concretely, this means we measured number of times a warning was ignored divided by number of times the warning was shown. This is across all users, and so this is the metric we use. And so now once we have this metric, an obvious question is, what is the ideal number for this metric? What is the state we want to achieve? I argue that we need to achieve ideal click-through rate would be something like 0%. Why is that? Well, first of all, in the obvious case, if there are low false positives, this is true for the malware and phishing warnings. If there are low false positives for this warning, then lower click-through rate means we are protecting more users. So we just want to have a low click-through rate to protect more users. Alternatively, if there are high false positives, which is probably true for SSL warnings, then first, you know, maybe we want low click-through rates to incentivize websites to fix their SSL errors so that we have fewer false positives. Or in general, even if we can't incentivize the websites, but maybe browsers should do something, because false positives or these false warnings are just annoying. They certainly annoy me. And so we should try to reduce this number of false warnings to achieve a 0% click-through rate. So once we decide we want to measure this, how did we measure this? We used a mechanism called browser telemetry. This is a mechanism for browsers to collect pseudonymous performance and quality data from end users. Users typically opt in to sharing data with the browser vendors, but if you're using like an early nightly developer release of the browser, then you're opted in by default and you have to opt out. This is the screenshot here is of a Firefox setting where you can check whether telemetry is enabled. This is in your Firefox preferences, and even in Chrome you can check this setting somewhere. So we implemented code as part of this telemetry framework to measure the number of times a warning is shown and the number of times a warning is ignored, again, to measure the click-through rate. And for both Chrome and Firefox, we did this for both Chrome and Firefox's malware, phishing, and SSL warnings. And the stuff I'll be talking about is about data that we collected roughly in the month of May for both Chrome and Firefox. There are some limitations of this methodology. First of all, we don't get detailed data about the users. We don't have data on what type of user it is, what are his or her browsing habits, except for maybe operating systems and release channels, very mild demographic data. The users that we are looking at might be biased towards clicking because they agreed to share this data, right? And so maybe the numbers we are seeing are higher than the actual rate of actual click-through rate. And we present aggregate data across all users. So individual users could be overrepresented. We don't think this is a problem. We looked at the numbers for Chrome, and overrepresented users are only like 1% of the total. So we don't really think this is a problem. One limitation we have is that our original Mozilla Firefox implementation had a bug and did not ignore warnings and iframes. And since users might not see the warnings and iframes, this could cause us to measure a lower click-through rate than what is actually the real rate. Chrome never shows a warning in iframe, so this is not a concern for Chrome. But we fixed this bug in Firefox 23, but we only have pre-release data. I think Firefox 23 was out late last week. And so it's going through the update process right now. But we were able to, using pre-release data, measure how much of a problem it is. And for malware and phishing warnings, it's not really much of a problem, maybe 2 percentage points. But for SSL, it was a much bigger issue. And so for SSL warnings, we'll use the newer numbers only, but we'll only have a smaller sample size of pre-release data. So this is the data that I'll be working with. I'll give you a moment to take a look while I drink water. Yeah. So, you know, lots and lots of numbers, 6 million, 16 million, lots of data. And the SSL warnings, we only have pre-release data, so much smaller numbers. But still, 10,900 is not a small sample size. And so most of the results I'll be talking about are mostly statistically significant. You can check out the paper for all the alpha values and stuff. All right, so what did we find? I'll go through four things: results for malware and phishing warnings, SSL warnings, SSL warnings by the type of error, and the time spent by users on the SSL warnings. So starting with malware and phishing warnings. This is the click-through rate for Firefox malware and Chrome malware warnings. And this is the click-through rate for Firefox phishing and Chrome phishing warnings. Now, I don't know about you, but this really surprised me. This is much, much lower than what I was expecting. Less than 25% for all warnings, and in Firefox's case, very small, actually. And so at least I was very surprised because I was expecting a very high click-through rate. Not only that, Firefox rates seem to be much lower than Chrome rates. This might be due to demographics. Maybe Chrome users are just maybe younger and more risk-taking. But it's more surprising when you take a look at the type of the warnings. This is the Firefox malware warning, and you only have to click once to ignore the warning and proceed. The Chrome malware warning, you have to click on advanced and then click on ignore. So you needed two clicks to ignore the Chrome malware warning, but one click to ignore the Firefox warning. Despite that, despite requiring more clicks, the Chrome malware warning has a higher click-through rate, which was also very surprising to me. You know, usually you would think the more annoying you make it to the user, the more clicks you require, that would reduce the click-through rate. But that doesn't seem to be happening here. One more thing to notice is that Firefox phishing click-through rate is higher than the Firefox malware click-through rate. Is this rational behavior? I wonder if that is true. If it is true, because think about it from the user's perspective. He or she visits a malware page. A drive-by download could pwn the user before he or she can do anything. Whereas for a phishing warning, if the user knows that he or she might be phished, then you can be a bit more cautious and not put in your credentials. So maybe this is rational behavior. And I know what you're thinking. The Chrome stuff is not matching this hypothesis, but this rate for Chrome fluctuates a lot, something I'll get back to in a minute. But maybe this phishing and malware difference is actually rational decisions from the user. As I said earlier, we don't have a lot of demographic data. We have mild demographic data in terms of operating systems and release channels. So everyone obviously knows what an operating system is. But I'll spend a minute to talk about what is a release channel. This is a mechanism for browsers to test out their future versions. So, you know, you can send out bleeding edge features to people who opt into using a future version of the browser, so a beta version or something like that. And so different channels are further ahead. So best way to understand this is an example. Stable was version 21, then beta was 22. Then Aurora, or the dev version, was version 23, and the nightly version was version 24. So one step ahead for each browser, and the same thing happens for Chrome. We hypothesize that if you're using an earlier channel, you're using a further ahead channel, you're probably more technically proficient. We haven't tested this hypothesis, but maybe it's true. Now, this is the results by the click-through rates for different operating systems and different release channels. First of all, see that the Linux click-through rate is much higher than what we have seen on average for everyone, except for Chrome malware. And so maybe people who use Linux it seems that they're more likely to click through, and maybe this is because they're more technically proficient. I don't know, but this is a hypothesis, and maybe the data indicates that. One more thing we notice is that for Firefox, click-through rates go up as you move up the release channels. Beta versions are more likely to click through for both malware and phishing, and similarly for dev versions. So taken together, we wonder if the data indicates that a greater degree of technical skill corresponds to a lower risk aversion. Users are more likely to click through these warnings. If it is the case that Linux and developer releases correspond to more technical skill. This was also a bit surprising to me because there was some work, I think, I can't remember, which suggested that this isn't true and that people who know what they're doing and tend to be more cautious and know what the problems are, but maybe they know too much. One more thing we found was that the Chrome malware click-through rates varies a lot, fluctuates a lot by date. Depending on weeks, it changes from 11.2% to 24.9%. We do not see any such effect for Mozilla Firefox. And possibly this is because Google Chrome shows a top-level warning for secondary resources. For example, a malware ad on YouTube.com, maybe script sourced from a malicious domain, will cause Chrome to show a warning, block the load of all of YouTube and show a warning for YouTube.com, whereas Mozilla would just silently block it. And so thinking of it from the user's perspective, the user is seeing Chrome warning about YouTube, and the user is like, whoa, Chrome is crazy. Let me ignore the warning. And this is actually a real scenario that happened in January, and Chrome started showing warnings for YouTube. All right, next up, now that we're done with malware and phishing, SSL warnings. We found a click-through rate for 33% for Firefox beta users and 70.2% for Chrome stable users. Again, this was really surprising to me. The Firefox click-through rate is much lower than what I had expected. The Chrome rate I had kind of expected to be 70%. What could be the reasons for this? We considered four possibilities. First is warning appearance. Maybe there's just a difference in design. This is the Chrome SSL warning, red background, you know, white text, very clear explanation, annoying icon, scary icon. Same with Firefox, kind of. And so I'm not sure if warning design can sufficiently explain this huge difference. Excuse me. Another possibility is the number of clicks. The Chrome SSL warning requires one click to bypass it. You just click proceed anyway and you go on. The Firefox SSL warning is a bit more annoying. You have to click on I understand the risk and then click on add exceptions, so that's two clicks. And once you do that, you get this pop-up dialog box where you have to click on again, this third click to finally confirm, okay, I really wanna go, stop annoying me. And so three clicks, lower click-through rate. But previously for malware and phishing, we saw that even despite requiring twice as many clicks, Chrome is not seeing a lower click-through rate. So maybe clicks is not the reason we are seeing this huge difference. The third possibility is certificate pinning. Browsers do not allow users to bypass errors for some high-profile sites they have pinned search for. So Chrome ships with a much bigger list of these pinned sites. So for Twitter, Facebook, Google, etc. And so nearly 20% of all warnings shown by Chrome are actually non-bypassable warnings. We don't count those in our numbers, versus 1% for Firefox. And to get an illustration of what that means, consider the set of all SSL errors shown by Firefox and set of all SSL errors shown by Chrome. This is the chunk that corresponds to pinned sites. And so now you do the math for the remaining, considering the click-through rates. And you're talking about the red stuff being the Firefox click-through and for Chrome equivalent. But now if you take a look at the percentage of the total SSL errors, the Chrome click-through rate, the number of warnings or errors ignored, is just 56%, not 70%. So this is a 20% drop because of this pinning feature. And now I wonder whether what's happening in the remaining is that maybe Firefox users, despite the certificate being not bypassable, are making a conscious decision not to click through for high-profile sites. The final reason we wonder this could be happening is because of the remember exception feature. In Firefox, by default, in this add the third click where you confirm an exception, the permanently store exception checkbox is ticked by default. And so it remembers a bad certificate or an erroneous certificate for a particular site. And so concretely, if you have one site with a bad certificate or a misconfiguration and you visit it three times, in Firefox, you'll achieve a click-through rate of 33% and a 100% click-through rate for Chrome. And so maybe that's the reason, because the user knows that a site is broken and keeps clicking again and again, and that is what causing a higher click-through rate. This is a possibility, and I think Chrome is currently investigating if this changes the click-through rates. All right, so what about demographics again for SSL warnings too? This is the data by operating system and by release channel. I won't spend too much time on it, but we see similar effects as we saw for Firefox malware. You go down, you're getting higher click-through rates for, you know, Linux has a much higher click-through rate. Early release channels have a higher click-through rate. Finally, we also measured the click-through rate by different error types. So the Chrome SSL warning tells the user vaguely what is the particular type of error. There's a high-level explanation, but if you want more details, the user can click on Help Me Understand and get more details about what type of error it is. And these are the results for click-through rates by different types of errors. Self-sign certs are the most common, and they have a high click-through rate. So spending a minute on this, network view systems like convergence or perspectives can reduce SSL warnings by almost 75%. So they have a massive usability advantage. But note that they are not a panacea, because name errors still account for 25% of all errors. And the reason why network view systems need to check for names is because of virtual hosting. You can test it out. Convergence actually checks for names. And so even if we switch to a world where everyone is using convergence, 25% of the errors will still remain. Another thing we notice is that more common warnings have a much higher click-through rate, which is kind of indicative of maybe warning fatigue. But you can see, like, the higher, the more common the warning, the higher the click-through rate. For Firefox SSL, the type of the error is not shown on the main page. It's shown on the Add Exception dialog box after the two clicks. And in that dialog box, the user gets to see something about the type of the error, and then he can decide whether to confirm or not. This is the click-through rate for different types of errors from Firefox. Firefox can show multiple errors. It doesn't have a priority list. So for example, a self-signed cert as well as an expired cert will only show the self-signed cert error on Chrome, but will show both errors on Firefox. And so you have all these different categories. But the high-level point is that there's not much difference in Firefox by error type. And so maybe what is happening is that users don't make a decision at that point. Users are really making a decision at the very first page and deciding to click through. Now, thinking a bit more about what we saw, we see a 24.4-point difference between click-through rates for expired and self-signed certificates for Chrome. And so maybe the reason is that these untrusted issuer or self-signed certificate errors occur only on unimportant sites, sites that the users don't care about keeping data secret. Or what's happening is that expired certificates are a much bigger surprise to users, and thus users are a lot more cautious. Consider the user who is browsing to the site that used to work all the time. Maybe it's a high-profile site or a low-profile site, doesn't matter, but the site used to work with no warning, and suddenly the cert expired and it started showing a warning. The user is a lot more cautious and wonders, okay, this is not what I expected, I'll not click through. And so that's good. That means the users are not clicking through blindly. This idea of choosing dancing pigs, or just this oblivious users who's just going through every time is maybe not true. The users are making a conscious decision and are deciding as they go through and see the warnings. Finally, we also measured how much time users spent on different warnings. This is the time spent by users based on outcome. So the dark blue line is the time spent by users on the warning if they ignored the warning. And the light blue is time spent if they heeded the warning. And so what we see is that the users spent much less time on the warning if they decided to ignore it. We also measure time spent based on the error type, again, expired, untrusted, and name mismatch. And what we see is that less time is spent on more common warnings. Again, maybe an indication of warning fatigue. So what are the implications of all this? First of all, it seems that the warnings are more effective than at least I had thought. I was pretty surprised by the results. Save for the SSL warning for Chrome, nearly all warnings are ignored only under like 33% of the times, with for Firefox malware it being much lower, and even Chrome malware sometimes hitting a rate of 11.2%. So it's much lower than what I had expected. And so this idea that all warnings are just useless and users are always clicking through is maybe not true. Chrome SSL warnings are ignored 70.2% of the times, but given that we have all these positive results for the remaining warnings, maybe there is something that we can do. Maybe they can be fixed. And this is something Google is actually investigating right now, trying out multiple A/B trials and field experiments and seeing what works, what doesn't work. That takes quite a bit of time, so it will take a while before it happens. But that is happening right now at Google. I think you can talk to Adrian after the talk to see what's happening. But more critically, it seems our data indicates that warning design can impact user behavior. Different types of warnings have different click-through rates, and so if you're designing a system, security practitioners should not ignore the role of the user completely. Users have a critical role to play, and doing some sort of systematic design and thinking about the user can actually have a low click-through rate and achieve safety for our users. Our data also maybe contradicts the stereotype of this wholly oblivious users who does not care at all about security. We see a 24-point difference between click-through rates for untrusted issuer or self-sign search and expired cert errors for Google Chrome. We also see that for Mozilla Firefox, when people open the add exception dialog box, 21.3% of those users untick this permanently store this exception dialog box. So both these things indicate that the users are actively making a decision and not just like blindly clicking through the warnings and annoyed with what is happening. So what is if we compare our data with what we have seen in previous work, first of all, there's a huge difference between what previous work saw in lab studies and what we are seeing with our field measurements. A lot of the lab studies focused on old-style warning designs, so maybe that is the reason there's this huge difference. Alternatively, maybe participant trust in the lab environment is affecting the results. Maybe because they trust the lab environment, they're clicking through a lot more than they would if they are in the field. And this is not something new. Last year, there was a paper in Soups that talked about how when they did a study on SSL warnings, they found that there was a huge difference between what the participants said they would do and what they actually did, said they would do if they were in at home or something, and what they actually did in the lab. And so when asked, the participants said that this is because of the security of the lab environment and the safety and the trust they felt in the lab environment. So maybe this means that we need a renewed emphasis on some sort of field study mechanisms more than lab studies, something like experience sampling, network measurements, or real-world deception studies. There was a fantastic paper from Stuart, actually, at Soups this year about that did this. Our data also observes behavior consistent with the theory of warning fatigue. Common errors are clicked through faster and more frequently than less common errors. And security practitioners, this gives like concrete advice and guidance for security practitioners or warning designers that they should consider limiting the number of warnings raised. There has been some recent work about taking this view of let's try to reduce the number of warnings shown to the users. And maybe that does achieve better security. So wrapping it all together, what's the bottom line? Well, we find that browser warnings can be effective. Maybe they can be improved for sure. For malware, definitely we want a lower rate. But they can be effective. Let's not ignore completely, and it's not like 90% or something. And we also find evidence that warning mechanism design can have a huge impact on the user behavior. You tweak the number of clicks, maybe not that much, but number of times you show the warning, and this sort of mechanism design can have an impact on the user's click-through rate. With that, I'll wrap up. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks. Any questions?
Hi, my name is Frank Imason from the University of Waterloo. You mentioned early in the talk that you would like to see no warnings ignored.
Sorry?
You mentioned early in the talk about 0% of warnings.
Yeah, 0% click-through rate.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you'd like to see. But is there not a valid reason to ignore warnings? And if not, why do we even have them? Shouldn't we just block it?
If there are valid... No, but... So... That's a very long argument, but if I talking to browser vendors, first they want to fix the web, so they want there to be warnings, want it to be annoying, so sites fix their sites. And if the browser thinks that it's a false warning, the browser should just not show the warning, and when it's really sure, it should be a warning, it should block it, which it does for pinned sites, right? So an error on Google, it does treat as completely blocking it. And so there is a design space there, but in general, I personally don't want browsers to just start blocking everything. But let's take this offline. This is a very long discussion, trust me. We have been arguing about this with browsers also, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, yeah.
Hi, Jeremy Epstein, National Science Foundation. Great talk.
Thanks.
There are really two factors behind the changes, and you talked about one, namely the warnings are getting better, but the other factor is that users are reading in the newspaper and every or social media or whatever they read about all the dangers and so on. Is there any way of teasing out how much of it is that users are getting more sensitive and how much is we're doing a better job telling them? Would it, if we tried the old warnings with new users, would we see different behavior than we saw several years ago? Are we really taking more credit than we deserve, in other words?
Yeah, I think there is a way. I think experience sampling maybe can help out there, or maybe not for teasing out the difference. Let me think. I can't think of a way actually for doing that, but I would love to see that. I'm not sure how to do the teasing out.
I mean, we could try reintroducing the old warnings into new browsers and then capturing the experiential data and see does it really differ, because Yes, I think you're probably right that it's the warnings that are making the difference. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to pat ourselves on the back because there is this other variable, and knowing which it really is would help us in the future.
Absolutely.
Do a better job.
I agree. I think, yes, experience sampling, maybe that's, yeah, that should help out.
Hi, Mark Stocklin, IBM Research. Your first insights were very interesting, but have you also considered the specificity of the browsers? Thinking, for example, if Firefox shows me less warning, less false alarms, and then Chrome shows me more, I'm clicking through that. Have you any way to assess the false positive rates?
There's no way to assess from this data the false positive rate, but the remember exception feature kind of reduces the number of false positives. And now the impact of, it's hard to clearly say that's the reason, but I think Google is right now testing out Google is testing out this feature with A/B tests and field trials to see if it is actually the case that you improve the specificity and the click-through rate improves. So maybe that's true, but we have to test that out and more investigation is needed. But yeah, thanks.